Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, brand new week of Drive Time Sports, here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be along with you on the afternoon drives as we talk local and national sports. And today, that's exactly what we have planned for the show. We're going to talk some high school basketball. Saturday night here on KOAL, the Emory Sporting boys basketball team defeated Carbon by a final score of 54 to 48. That's the seventh consecutive victory for the Emory boys basketball team over Carbon. They start off the year 8-0. Carbon was a game opponent. That was a fun one. I can't wait for the rematch on January 7th. It's going to be at Carbon. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for it. Coach Todd Jeffs is going to join us on the show today. He's going to join us coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, and we'll talk about that. Plus, we'll give you the complete recap of everything that happened on the local sports front this past weekend. Also on the show today, we've got to talk college football. The bowl games are off and moving. In fact, Tulsa defeated Central Michigan earlier. Well, they're about to defeat Central Michigan in the Miami Beach Bowl. We had a couple of bowl games over the weekend, but the big news is pretty much players not participating in bowl matchups, like Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey. It's been announced that neither of these two will participate in their team's bowls, and we'll get into it in just a bit. I'm a little saddened by Leonard Fournette not playing in the Citrus Bowl against Louisville just because of the storylines with a guy who was the Heisman front runner basically for two seasons. Unfortunately, he didn't win one. And he's going toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson, the current Heisman winner. Like, that's a fun storyline. It's 13 versus 20. It would have been fun. Unfortunately, we are not going to see that. And now the big question is it going to be a growing trend in college football? I think so. I think you're going to see star athletes, star players who declare for the NFL draft skipping their bowl game more and more. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. As far as the national headlines go, the Jacksonville Jaguars have named Doug Marrone their interim coach. They fired Gus Bradley yesterday on the team plane after Jacksonville suffered a loss to the Houston Texans. The Texans bench Brock Osweiler, and then they rally to knock off the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that was it for Gus Bradley. It was over. At that point, it was over. And really, the biggest disappointment of the season for me is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're a team that I thought would make the postseason, and they are sitting at 2-12. They have a revamped defense. There has been no growth in Blake Bortles this season, a guy that was really good last season. He put up numbers that made you think, okay, here's the quarterback for the Jaguars. They've been outscored by 99 points this season. In fact, there's only a handful of teams who have been outscored more heavily. The Los Angeles Rams, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Cleveland Browns, and the New York Jets. That's it. So they're at the bottom, and again, they only have two wins. They're going to be picking at the top once again in the draft. Gus Bradley done. Doug Marrone is going to step in. That's a familiar name, Doug Marrone. Remember, he was the guy that guided the Bills. He had like a 15-17 record, and then he opted out of his contract because he didn't know what direction the organization was going to roll. So he opted out of his contract. He was hired by Gus Bradley as the offensive line coach. And so Doug Marrone's going to lead Jacksonville the remainder of the season. That's some news coming out of the NFL. Marrone was also a head coach at the college level at Syracuse. He was 25-25 when he was there with the Orange. Other news circulating around the national sports front. Blake Griffin, he needs knee surgery. He's going to miss about 3 to 6 weeks. Arthroscopic knee surgery. And, it's going to remove some of the loose bodies from his right knee bone, according to the team. He missed a game last weekend because of a sore right knee, and he's been playing through it since the issue began. Doc Rivers told the Orange County Register that the injury was not suffered during their loss to Golden State back on December 7th. But nonetheless, the Clippers are going to be without Blake Griffin for a while. And this was a team that started off hot. The Clippers have now dropped. They've lost four out of their last 10 games, and they've dropped to the number four seed in the Western Conference. The Houston Rockets, believe it or not, have a better record at 21-7, and the Jazz are just two games behind the Clippers. So not a good time for Blake Griffin to be missing some action, considering that the Jazz have won 8 out of 10 in 4 consecutive, and they seem to be playing some of their best basketball all year long right now. It's bad timing for the Los Angeles Clippers, but that's some of the news making waves throughout the national sports front. We'll take a look at the schedule tonight in the NBA. Washington will take on Indiana. Tip-off in that game is scheduled for 5 p.m. Detroit will travel on the road to take on the Chicago Bulls at 6. We get Atlanta at Oklahoma City, also at 6. Phoenix at Minnesota. Nightcap tonight, it's Dallas at Denver at 7 p.m. The Utah Jazz are out of action tonight. They return to the court tomorrow to take on the Golden State Warriors. That one is on the road. We've got a pause for just a moment. We got plenty of local sports coming your way. We're going to talk some memory sport and basketball, some college football, and a little bit more. It's all coming up here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. As you heard during that last break, Saturday here on KOAL, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team earned their seventh straight victory over the Carbon Dinos. They grab a 54-48 win. What an entertaining game that was. Carbon came out swinging. They held a 22-18 lead at the end of the first half, and then Emory kind of pulled away late in the second as they finally found their rhythm offensively. Colton Butler was dynamic in this game as Kobe Butler dealt with foul trouble pretty much throughout the evening. To talk a little bit about the outcome in Saturday's game and what lies ahead for the team, we're going to bring in Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Spartans right now. Coach, always great to get you on. Thank you.
Hey, I'm glad to be on the show.
Coach, we got to talk about Saturday's game. It's always very fun. It's always important when these two teams get together. Of course, there was a great turnout at the Spartan Center. You guys trailed by 4 at halftime after a sluggish first half, but you found your rhythm in the second half and grabbed a 6-point win over Carbon.
Yeah, glad to get the win, and what a great atmosphere for high school basketball. You know, our fans showed up, our student body showed up. It was just a good night of basketball and a lot of fun.
Coach, it's one of those games where you almost have to throw the records out every time these two teams get together because of the intensity in the gym. I know I've talked to you about this before, and you've said it's the closest feel to a state championship game that these kids will get without playing in a state championship.
Well, I think you're exactly right. You know, it's a fun atmosphere for our kids to play in, and there's a lot on the line and a lot of anxiety and a lot of fans in the stands. And just, like I say, it's a great atmosphere for high school basketball. And I thought our kids, played hard throughout. I wish we would have shot the ball a little bit better. But, you know, you have nights like that, especially after playing, three games in four nights. And the night before, with the weather, you know, a lot of our kids got back at 1 or 2 in the morning. So a little bit of fatigue. And that's, not necessarily an excuse, but it's a reason. And so I thought our kids battled through it fairly well and came out with a win.
You guys were able to go 7 deep in this game, Coach. Kobe Butler gets into foul trouble. I think he only plays like 2-3 minutes in the second half. I was really impressed with the quality amount of minutes that you guys got from Kyson Stilson. He was able to stabilize a little bit out of the backcourt, and that allowed Colton to move up and play the 5, and he was very effective in the 5 out for you guys.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kyson Stilson, and that's been a concern of mine is how we're going to, utilize our bench a little bit more, and I thought he came in and provided some great minutes and really did a good job taking care of the basketball and not doing anything crazy. And then he hit that big 3, I think it was late in the third quarter, early in the fourth, that really helped us out. And so I was real happy for him. And I think, we got to utilize him a little bit more than we have.
Bodie finishes with 12 points, 11 of those 12 come in the second half. I mean, it seemed like anything that could have went wrong was going wrong in this game, with Kobe getting into foul trouble early and Bodie really not having much rhythm offensively. And you mentioned you guys missing a lot of open shots in the first half. What was the big difference between the first half and second half?
Well, you know, the one difference is we made some shots, especially from three-point range. When we're able to do that, it you know, sure seems to loosen things up a little bit. And it was a little bit altered this game because the second half we started hitting some threes, but we didn't have that post presence with Kobe to go to, you know, and with his foul trouble and him not playing much, you know, he probably played less than 2 or 3 minutes in the whole second half. And so much of what we do is kind of channeled through his presence in the post, and when he's not there, it changes our whole outlook and our whole approach to attacking a defense. And so I was proud of our kids for patching things together and finding a different way to score and you know, coming out with a win.
I said this on the broadcast Saturday, and Coach, I can't think of a better all-around game that Colton has had, maybe even a better half that he has had. And that's saying something, because, I mean, he's been very productive for you for the last 3 years. It just seemed like he really put the offense on his shoulders in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he did. I thought he was aggressive when he needed to be. He and Bodie both late in the fourth quarter there really did a nice job just getting to the basket and taking care of business, you know, right at the basket. And they made some shots, and they also made some assists. I think the three-point shot I mentioned earlier with Stilson was on a kick-out three, and that was set up either by Colton or Bodie, one of the two, on their drive. And so they really set the tone for us. Like you said, that five outlook really was effective for us with Colton driving. And you know, just you got to play a little bit differently when your big guy's in foul trouble, and we did, and we found some nice plays out of it.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Sport and Boys Basketball Squad. Coach, you guys are now 8-0. You knock off Carbon for the seventh consecutive time. All things considering, how happy are you with where this team is at with one game before you go into the Christmas break?
Well, there's some improvements that need to be made, obviously. I think our free throw shooting's a little bit leaves a little bit to be desired, and a little bit frustrating as a coach, because we've got some very fine shooters on the floor, and to not come up with some of those free baskets, that's tough, and that's been kind of an ongoing problem the last four or five games for us, and so we've got to do something to fix that. But you know, overall, I think the one thing a coach can just has to, you got to have every night is kids out there playing hard, and we've had that, and I'm proud of our guys for that. You know, the shooting sometimes can come and go, and you got to kind of work around that at times, but the effort's been there every night. You know, we've out-rebounded every opponent we played this year so far. That's been a mainstay for us, and then so much is that due to Colton, Kobe, but, you know, we've gotten nice rebounding efforts from Zach Jorgensen's been really good that way, and Easton Gordon's got in there and mixed it up, and so, you know, that when you get some help, it helps in that rebounding area as well.
You mentioned the foul shooting, and it's really mind-boggling, because as you talked about, you have great shooters on this team. I think one of the things that makes this team so dangerous is at any given time, all five kids on the court can hit a shot from the outside or from the mid-range game, yet you guys have struggled at the line. I don't know, how can you fix that, Coach? I mean, I don't know if you can fix that, because these kids know how to shoot the basketball.
Well, it is. It's a little bit frustrating. I think back a few games ago where Easton Gordon was 4 for 4 or 5 for 5 from three-point range, and 0 for 3 or 0 for 4, something like that, from the free throw line. So, you know, I think it's just a little bit of a, you know, mind thing. I think kids just have to be a little – we got to find ways to simulate game shots in practice, and, you know, just try to emulate that a little bit better than we have.
You guys do have one more contest coming up before we go into the Christmas break. That'll be against Union on a Wednesday. Once again, it's going to be a home game for this team, and then after that, you guys will have the long break. So what does practice look like for you guys this week, Coach, since you played 3 games in 4 days, had a real brutal schedule last week?
Yeah, you know, we're going to go really hard today. I know it's only a day off of like you said, that brutal schedule, but I think we've got to go really hard in practice today. And our guys have a little bit of an edge for Union. You know, they beat us on a last-second shot up there last year, and I know our guys, you know, took that a little bit personal. So it's a situation where our guys really want to get after it. And going into the break, it's, you know, one game this week. So I expect to go all out, and should be a fun game here before the Christmas break.
Union is another squad that's a classification up, a 3A team, just like Carbon, just like North San Pete. Even though your guys expect to win these games, do you think that bodes well for confidence, knowing that you're beating squads that are a classification above you?
Well, you know, I don't think we make too much of an issue of what classification teams will play in. Our guys like to get after it, and that's not a huge factor for us. I mean, it's nice to look on the resume and say, yeah, we beat some 3A schools or whatever, but that's not that big a deal for us. So we just, you know, it's next year it all changes anyway, and we're all in the same classification. So it's good going into a class change that way, but I don't think it's as big a thing as for the players as maybe it is for the fans.
Coach, I got to ask you this question before I let you go. I asked Colton this when he joined us post-game. I said, do you prefer playing Carbon at home or on the road? And I had to ask Colton that because I could ask 10 kids that question, and I'm going to get 5 different answers. So for you as a coach, do you prefer that game at home or on the road, or does it matter to you?
Well, I like them both. The home atmosphere is so fun, and the crowd and everybody getting into it. But it's also fun to go on the road and do that. I'm just so glad that we've been able to keep that game scheduled, for forever. For as long as I've coached here at Emory, we've been able to play Carbon at least once and usually twice during the year. And it's just, you know, I think it's valuable for the community. It's a healthy rivalry. You know, I don't remember things getting out of hand ever. It's just an exciting atmosphere for basketball, and I'm really glad that we've been able to keep that going.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to talk to you. Congratulations on a great stretch last week, again winning 3 games in 4 days. And you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I know we'll catch up again with you real soon.
I appreciate everything, and just, you know, can't say enough about the great job you do for Emory High Sports.
Thank you, Coach. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Again, Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Sport and Basketball Team. We're going to break for just a second, but we have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
A long three from Thompson, and that is an NBA record. His 10th three-pointer of the night. Thompson fires for 3. Yes! Golden State by 3.
This is Clay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Lester on KOAL 750 AM.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. Monday edition of the show. We typically talk college football. We've talked college football this segment for like the past 15, 16 weeks. I'd be lost without a college football segment on this edition of the show, so we got to do it. And I'm going to talk about a growing trend in college football, something that you're going to see more and more often. It was about 3 or 4 days ago, Leonard Fournette, stud running back for LSU, made the announcement that he would not be playing in the team's bowl game against Louisville. That's the Citrus Bowl. Would have been a fantastic bowl game, by the way. It had an interesting storyline. The Citrus Bowl was highlighted on my list because you had Lamar Jackson, Heisman Trophy winner, going toe-to-toe with Leonard Fournette, who was the front-runner for the Heisman midway through last season before he ran into that brick wall, Alabama, and Derrick Henry stole the show, and the Heisman front-runner this year. So you had the Heisman winner going up against the Heisman front-runner, who had a down season, particularly because of injuries. That's a great storyline for that game. I was looking forward to the Citrus Bowl, but now we don't get Leonard Fournette in this game, and it loses a little bit of his luster. I get it. A few days after Fournette makes that announcement, Christian McCaffrey comes out and says he will not be participating in the Sun Bowl. Stanford's number 18. They're going up against unranked North Carolina. And there are people that are upset, and I guess I understand where you're coming from. I think there's two sides to the equation. I, for one, am all right with both of these young men saying they're not playing in the bowl games. I'm okay with it. Both of these players have had nagging injuries throughout the 2016 season. Leonard Fournette nearly missed six games. He did miss six games. He didn't play in the Florida game. He tried to, but he had an ankle injury that he struggled with all year long. It's not as if this guy was healthy throughout the first 12 games of the season and decided, you know what, I'm going to go pro. I'm not going to play in the bowl game. That was not the case for Leonard Fournette. Here's a freakish athlete. He's pegged as being one of the best running back prospects that we have seen in quite some time. And he simply said, I'm not playing in the bowl game. I don't think his body's 100%, and I have no problem with him skipping it. Christian McCaffrey, who had a pretty good season. His numbers may have dipped a little bit, but this year he averaged 2.3 yards after contact per rush. Last year he was averaging 1.7. So his numbers got a little bit better. Worse offensive situation this season, but I think all in all, when you look at what he was able to accomplish, he's proven that he's ready to go to the NFL. He also suffered an injury. He missed the game against Notre Dame this season. It was an undisclosed injury. So we have two running back prospects who you know are going to take a lot of extra hits in the bowl games. They're going to take a lot of extra contact leading up to the bowl games with the extra 4 weeks of practice that these teams get. I'm okay with it. Leonard Fournette is going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft, depending on how things shape up, you know, at the top five of the draft. A team like the Jets, they've got to be eyeing Leonard Fournette. They have to be. Christian McCaffrey, I don't think McCaffrey's a first-round pick. A lot of people think I'm crazy when I say that. I think he goes in the second round. That's neither here nor there. He's going to be a top 45 pick in the draft. So you have two guys who are going to be making large money, and they are depending on their bodies to make that large sum of money coming up relatively soon with the NFL draft in April. And I, for one, am not upset at either of these kids for backing out of the bowl game. Pundits are, you know the NCAA doesn't like this, and you know sponsorships don't like this. And I know some fans don't like it either. But that's okay, and I'll tell you why I'm okay with it. Last year, I decided to take a trip to Arizona. I was live in attendance at the Fiesta Bowl in Arizona between Notre Dame and Ohio State. This was a non-playoff game, but there was a lot of hype behind it. I mean, obviously, you're talking about Notre Dame and Ohio State. But there were four can't-miss prospects in this game. Four guys that honestly should have gone in the top six in the NFL draft. Ohio State had Ezekiel Elliott. He went number four to Dallas. They also had Joey Bosa. He went number three to San Diego. Notre Dame had Ronnie Stanley. He went number six to Baltimore. Notre Dame also had Jalen Smith. A can't-miss linebacker prospect, the greatest linebacker in Notre Dame history. And that's saying a lot, considering he's after Manti Te'o, who finished second in the Heisman voting. Jalen Smith was that good. Jalen Smith was projected to be a top three, top five pick. However, halfway through the first quarter, Jalen Smith suffers a gruesome knee injury, tears both his ACL and his LCL. And that injury greatly affected his draft stock. So instead of having four prospects selected in the top six, we had three go in the top six and one fall all the way to number 34, where a team like the Dallas Cowboys, who selected him, could afford the risk. Smith ends up signing a four-year deal with the Cowboys, one with a $2.9 million signing bonus, and his deal all the way around is roughly worth $6.1 million. Still a solid amount of money, I get it. But here's a fact. That contract is worth about a third of what Jalen Smith would have gotten had he not suffered that injury in a bowl game that had no meaning under the current postseason format. Meaning if you're not in the top four, you have no chance at winning a national championship. Now, fortunately for Jalen Smith, he was able to get an insurance policy and some money, which is going to pay him about $1 million. All in all, that money is nowhere near what he would have made had he set out of the Fiesta Bowl. Now, you can't look at that realistically and logically and tell me you blame these two kids for not playing in these bowl games. Again, Fournette and McCaffrey have suffered injuries throughout this entire season. And there is no one else to blame outside of the NCAA for the current college football playoff format for this happening. And it will continue to be a trend, I guarantee it. Because not only is all the meaning, and I'm not even going to go as far as saying that all the meaning is on the three games that make up the college football national championship playoff. We still have the New Year's Day Six Bowls. And I like those games a lot. There's a lot of tradition in watching the Pac-12 champion go up against the Big Ten champion, which we don't get this year. But the Rose Bowls, USC and Penn State, the Sugar Bowls, Auburn, Oklahoma, these are good games. The Cotton Bowl, you get Western Michigan and Wisconsin. Again, it's under the new format, so Western Michigan's from that group of five that gets a major bowl bid. I get it. I like those games. I'm fine with those games. But under the current format, they have no meaning. And this is why when we went to the college football playoff, I thought this is really going to bring down attendance and interest in all other bowl games. That and the fact that we have way too many bowl games. And a prime example of that is going to be the bowl statistics from last season. There were 39 returning bowl games, and the postseason crowd increased by 2% compared to 2015. But the average of attendance had dropped for the sixth straight year. The average crowd at bowl games last season was 43,817. That includes sellouts at the playoff games. Bowl attendance is down 17% since 2009 and 2010 when there were 33 bowls. So you see the problem. First off, we now have a playoff that is incorporated in with the bowl system, meaning that all the other games really don't matter as far as pegging our national champion. And everybody gets a bowl. Do you really want to go watch a team that's 6-6? I know Ute fans are not happy with the fact that they get Indiana in the Foster Farms Bowl. 2 weeks to go in the regular season, Utah had their eye on the Rose Bowl, and now they get a 6-6 Indiana squad without their head coach. Come on. Ute fans aren't excited for that. They're not happy about that game. I talk to Ute fans on a daily basis. You're not happy with that game. You're going to watch it, but you're not going to watch with as much interest. Because again, you're playing a team that's 6-6. The college football bowl system is screwed up, and because it's screwed up, you're going to continue to have kids who have solid draft grades and have encountered some sort of injury throughout the season dropping out. It's going to be a reoccurring theme. It's going to continue to happen more and more. And the word that the NCAA can't possibly stand is meaningless. Like when I say these games are meaningless, essentially, they are. They're glorified exhibition games. You know, you go years back. I mean, before we even had the BCS, you could be number 4, number 5 in the country, and a win in a bowl game could propel you to a national championship. That wouldn't necessarily be the case. You can't use that example with Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey. But I essentially just see two sides of the story here. I see that the bowl games being dubbed meaningless, and you say, well, what about Stanford when they had lost two games? Stanford was playing to get to the Rose Bowl. I wouldn't be sticking up for Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette if this was a playoff game. I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't even be sticking up for them if I'm talking about a major, you know, the Rose Bowl, or we're talking about the Sugar Bowl. Then you have a little bit more of an argument. And I don't know how you fix this and make all the bowl games meaningful. I just don't think you can. I don't think there is a format to make it all meaningful once again. Maybe if you decrease the bowl games by about 30%, maybe that's a start. I don't know. But it's going to happen more and more. Another example of last year, kids are afraid to play college football when they're getting solid draft grades. There was another first-round pick in that Fiesta Bowl last year, Will Fuller, who had already committed to going back to Notre Dame for one more season. Following the injury to Jalen Smith, he declared for the NFL draft because he was graded out solid enough that he knew he was going to get paid, and he did by being selected by the Houston Texans in the latter part of the first round. I just think it's something that college football is going to have to deal with in the future, and again, I don't think that the argument is the same for every player because these are two guys that have suffered injuries throughout this season. If their bodies felt 100% and they weren't dealing with nagging injuries, maybe you make a good point. maybe I can kind of see your side of the argument. But where it's sitting at right now, where you've had two kids with major injuries who you know are going to get paid next year in the NFL draft, look, I think they are well within their right to do this, and I don't think they should be criticized for it. We've got to pause for a quick commercial break. We do have more coming up here on Drive Time Sports when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Flipping back over to the local sports scene, Saturday on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team remained unbeaten as they defeated the Carbon Dinos 54-48 at home in the first of two meetings this season. Following the victory, senior Colton Butler was named Senator David Hinkins Player of the Game as he finished with 13 points. Following the victory, he stopped by the broadcast booth for a post-game interview as we wrapped up the live broadcast here on KOAL. Colton, it's great to get you in the broadcast booth tonight. Congratulations on the win.
Hey, thanks.
That's a fun game, obviously, every time Carbon and Emory get together. I know you guys look forward to this type of action. Different role for you tonight. Your brother Kobe gets in foul trouble. Coach Jeffs has no choice. He's got to go to you at center. You guys run kind of a five-out offense. You were able to take your man off of the dribble, and you've had a lot of success inside the paint.
Yeah, it's always fun playing Carbon. You got both towns come in and gets pretty loud. It's always fun to come play. But, yeah, Kobe ended up fouling out, getting in foul trouble early, and we've been practicing five out and just got lucky on the dribble today. So
I think you're being a little modest. I don't think it was luck. I think skill-wise, you're pretty good with the basketball in your hand. You play the four, but tonight you had to play the five, and you played it from a five out. So going up against the length inside, is it different for you when you have to move to that position?
Yeah, when we were younger, I played it a little bit, and we always had Kobe in there, but he did get in some foul trouble, and I've done it a couple times. But it's different, but I had to step up. So
you guys did struggle in the early portion of this game offensively, very stale in the first half. I believe you guys only had 18 points at the break, if I remember right. You pick it up in the second half. I have to ask, how much of that was fatigue? You guys played a lot of basketball in a four-day span.
Yeah, we just had a tough game last night, late drive home. We were getting tired and just had to power through it. Coach talking to us about it, and it's going to happen in a state tournament. Get prepared for it. And we ended up we weren't shooting too well the first, but we ended up coming out second half, pushing them, getting physical, and we ended up taking it over.
So you get a win against Carbon. It seems like it's a very respectable rivalry. You know these guys very well. Both teams want to win this game, but what do you tell the opposing team after the contest when you beat them?
Nice game. They're a lot of respectful kids. I don't know, I had a lot of fun playing against these kids. I think his name's Kyle Quinton. I was battling against him all night, and he's a really respectful kid. I have a ton of respect for him.
They're a pretty good basketball team. As far as the competition that you guys have seen so far, who's the best team that you've played?
These guys are physical. I think in just this atmosphere and everything that goes on in this game, we weren't shooting too well, and Carbon's always coming out strong. It's a rivalry, and it's a fun game to be part of.
Here's a question for you, and this is going to be different. I think if I asked 10 players this question, I'm probably going to get, five different answers. Would you rather play Carbon at home or on the road?
Home.
Okay. See, some say on the road.
I like home crowd. I like it. It gets loud in here, and it's fun.
You're a senior. It's the last time you get to play Carbon on this court. That's a little sad, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about it before the game and came in halftime. We were talking about it, but you got to just have fun. It's last time. Can't worry about it. Just have fun.
You guys you haven't shown a very deep bench. I've talked to Coach Jeffs about that. We're talking like seven deep right now as far as the team goes. Kobe fouls out, and they got to go to you for an extended role. Didn't look like the team panicked at all.
No, we've struggled towards the beginning of the year. It's been a struggle to get all those kids in the mix. They're not used to the positions we need to put them into this year. And we did have a hard time at the start of getting them in the rotation and getting everything going, but tonight they stepped up really well, and especially in this crunch time, and it's a fun game.
Kyson was a gamer. He gave you guys some solid minutes off the pine tonight.
Yeah, he's a competitor. In practice, he's always getting after it, and it's fun. Yeah, he stepped up. Everybody stepped up off the bench, and it was a fun game.
Colton, congratulations on the win. You guys have one more game before you go into the Christmas break, which will be a well-deserved break because you guys have played a lot of basketball in a short period of time.
Yeah, we got one Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah,
then we got a break and come back.
Well, it's always fun to talk to you in the booth. Congratulations on the win. Congratulations on your all-first team selection as well for high school football.
Oh, thanks.
Well-deserved as a wide receiver as well. You were prepared for by every coach, every opposing coach I talked to. They were preparing for you. So it's been a fun week for you nonetheless, I'm sure.
Yeah, real fun week. It's fun to be a part of.
Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Congratulations on the win, and we'll talk again real
soon. Thank you.
All right, that's the Senator David Hinkins, player of the game. That's Colton Butler. He finishes with a team-high 13 points as Emory gets the victory over the Carbon Dinos. Scott, we got to close out this broadcast. Before we go, I want you to go ahead and give me your final thoughts on this win tonight for Emory.
I love it. You're not going to win pretty all the way to a championship.
No.
And so it's good to win games that you don't necessarily have maybe any business winning, or it's difficult to win, you know. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, different people had to come up. The pressure was on. The legs were gone. You weren't shooting well. And you got to find a way to win it. And that's what I liked about, you know, tonight's game.
Final score again, 54-48. That's going to be our last broadcast before we move in to the Christmas break. Emory has one more game. They're going to travel next week. But we will be back once we get the new year off and rolling. Scott, Merry Christmas to you and yours. It's always fun to have the broadcast booth with you.
Appreciate it. That's good. That's fun.
It's a lot of fun. And I want to wish Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all the listeners out there as well. Emory remains unbeaten on the season. They top Carbon 54-48.
Out to Hayward. He'll step back. Three. Bang! Big, big buckets down the stretch. 32 for Hayward. Hayward on a step back. Oh! Down she goes! Hayward, one big shot after another, and a career night for Gordon Hayward.
This is Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Biscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Had to play that interview with Colton Butler from this past Saturday. I love the Carbon and Emory rivalry in all sports. It's fantastic. And as far as sportsmanship goes, great respect between those two teams on Saturday. Congratulations to both squads. That was fun. It was entertaining. You know, we've had all of the Carbon basketball seniors on the show so far this season. Those are some great kids. It was just a fun game to watch and to call. And again, I can't wait for the rematch coming up on January 7th. We are just about out of time on the show today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk NFL football. I want to talk about the Denver Broncos in depth tomorrow. There's some problems there. Odds are the Broncos are not going to the postseason. It was a big loss against the Patriots. Defensively, I thought they were good yesterday. Tom Brady did not have the best outing. But unfortunately, if you're a Denver Bronco fan, that offense just has too many flaws. And Denver was unable to get anything rolling offensively. And so now they're looking to become a Super Bowl defending champ that will not qualify for the postseason. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Over the next couple of days, we're also going to start recapping some of the biggest stories of 2016. So as far as the NBA basketball season goes, we're going to start talking about, you know, some of the big headlines. Obviously, Kobe retiring. No Kevin Garnett, no Tim Duncan. Duncan got his number retired, actually, this past weekend, which was a neat thing to see as well. Well-deserved. The greatest power forward, in my mind, to ever play the game. So a lot of NBA storylines. Kevin Durant jumping from OKC to Golden State. How that'll affect the landscape of the NBA for years to come. We're going to go over 2016 in general. That'll be on the show tomorrow. And then the day after that, on Wednesday, we're going to bring in Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. And he's going to talk about the biggest storylines regarding UFC of 2016. And I'll tell you, as far as unionizing and all this stuff goes, as far as, you know, MMA, we're going to look back at 2016, at the impact of Conor McGregor, and the impact of the UFC sale, and the Ali Act, which is a big topic, and it is going to be a game changer for the UFC. 10 to 15 years, I don't know if it's good or bad, 10 to 15 years from now, we'll look back at 2016 as being the game changer, and we'll talk about that on Wednesday. So we got a couple of great shows lined up. Also on Wednesday, we're going to preview the BYU-Wyoming Poinsettia Bowl in depth as well. We're going to bring on a couple of guests for that show as well. Can't wait for that one. So we got a great week of Drive Time Sports lined up for you. Thank you for joining me. It's always fun to be along with you on the afternoon drives. Until tomorrow, be safe. I am out.